Hello everyone. In this video, I'm going to be outlining the five principles I used to predict Trump's big win, why there was no malarkey this time around, how it is the regime let the Trump campaign win, and why really I was able to predict all aspects of the election. Now, the first thing I want to say on that is you know, I allowed myself one day of kind of victory lap and so on. I was pretty tired yesterday, but you know, I kind of don't want to harp on that too much. I also have to give a shout out to the thousands, literally thousands of people who have admitted that they were wrong in the past day or so. Hats off to those people. It's kind of restored my faith in humanity a little bit, that everybody was just willing to say, yeah, I got this wrong and you got it right. And likewise, if I ever get something wrong, I like to think I would hold my hands up and say, you know, well, I got that wrong. You know, and there have been examples of that in the past too. But anyway, when it comes to this election, how was it that I got it spot on? What I want to do in this video is actually just give you the tools, or try to provide the tools that I used to, so it can be replicated. For example, somebody asked me, can you please have a look at the situation in Germany and predict what's going to happen there? Well, I don't really have the knowledge of German politics, but you could use some of these same principles I'm going to outline here to get similar sorts of reads. It will work basically for most countries in the West. I'll just put it that way. So let's have a look at these five principles. First of all, I'm going to explain where I made the calls, and then I'm going to go through the five principles, okay? So principally, I outline my case in these four videos here, how to read the media and avoid getting manipulated. That's quite a long video, but it goes into the nuts and bolts and really gives, you know, I'm going to reiterate some of the stuff I mentioned in that one. And it was mentioned in passing, really, that I expected Trump to win. That was 9 months ago. And then it was really over a number of streams on my old show, Unpopular Opinions, and a few Substack articles and tweets and things, where I made most of my predictions. And then I put them all together in that video, Kamala Harris Jobber, from about a month ago. And I also summarized the arguments with a few other kind of more recent indicators in that video from just the day before the election, three indicators that Trump will win. And then finally, the video from yesterday where I was in the hotel room. and the reason I'm just pointing this out is that I've seen a few people, you know, ask, like, they've mentioned things that immediately let me know that they haven't watched these videos and therefore don't actually know the things that I said, how I got there, what the prediction was, et cetera, et cetera. I.e., they just hadn't done their homework. So I'm just letting you know where it was I laid out these cases. So anyway, now let's go through the five principles. So number one, internalize the principles of elite theory. So these are all the things I talk about in my best-selling book, The Populist Delusion, Buy It Now, etc. But basically, we're looking for the organized minority as against the disorganized mass. And we're also looking at there could be competing factions, competing organized minorities. So as I outlined in that video, Kamala Harris Jobber, in this election, we were looking at, broadly speaking, the techno-globalists versus the Zionists. And I mean, Trump was backed by a coalition of Zionists and quote-unquote based billionaires. And they're making an assessment, basically, of which organized minority was more powerful and had more control over the six nodes that Robert Michels talks about in the Iron Law of Oligarchy. So the key is to analyze the power factions and their relative strengths. Now, why this is important is that we're not looking at the opinions of the populace. We're looking at power and how it functions, and we're focusing there. We're not focusing on what it is the people want or anything like that, even though there will be a general mood in the public, one way or the other. The outcomes are decided by the relative strengths of the power factions. I believe the more powerful faction was backing Trump this time, which was why I was so certain that he was going to win when push comes to shove. If there's number one factor as to why Trump won, it is that he had more power behind him than in previous elections. Second, this is really important, ignore all polls. I made a video more than a month ago on why polls are absolutely shocking crap. And I mean, they've been out now for a number of different elections, but some of the polls in this election were shocking. The Harris Iowa poll should have been, come under criminal investigation, if I'm honest. And why is it that polls are ignorable and basically tell you nothing about what's going to happen? Well, it's all explained by Edward Bernays in his famous book, Propaganda, and various later books. Polls are designed to influence public opinion, not to reflect public opinion, okay? At most, polls are there for narrative setting and for priming the audience for what's about to happen, okay? Now, in this case, because Harris was a jobber, right, the polls weren't going to come out and say, oh, well, Trump's going to win by +5, or he's going to win every single swing state. It's a done deal, right? The media was never going to say that, because they need to sell the illusion of a competitive election. They need to tell everybody, this is the most important election ever, guys, and it's really, 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 really close. So pay attention and buy newspapers and tune in to CNN tonight and blah, 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 because it's box office, you know? So, and also they need to maintain the illusion of democracy. Now, I'm not saying that all of these people are actively engaged in deception in this way. I'm just saying that this is why the polls lied in this case. I mean, they didn't. What really happens, if you want to know, is explained perfectly well by Richard Barris, you know, the people's pundit, who, if you ask me, Trump should appoint to regulate the polling industry, because it's outrageous how fraudulent it is. But basically, most of these pollsters are working on commission on behalf of one of the campaigns. And they have incentives basically to massage the numbers or to make it look like something is close when it's not, or to, you know, give Harris +6 or +10 in some cases, because they're there on behalf of a campaign which is partisan, okay? So, you know, there have been instances of people being fired for not doing this sort of thing. So you have to understand that the polls are there to do all sorts of different things. For example, that Iowa poll was part of a demoralization campaign to try to persuade Trump voters not to turn up, right, on behalf of the Harris campaign. You know, they had $1 billion to spend. So they're going to spend it on some things. But anyway, Harris, in the overall scheme of things, was there to lose. So you have to ignore all the polls. Third, focus on the signals and not the noise, right? So at any given time, there's a ton of noise, ton of nonsense information scrambling you. And as this graph shows, it's distraction, it obscures what's really happening, it's just nonsense. And what you really want to try to get to is the bottom right corner for clarity by focusing only on signals and tuning out the clown show, tuning out the noise. And what are some of those things? Well, tier one and two regime media headlines, tier one media, BBC, CNN, Bloomberg, Financial Times, New York Times. And you want to have a look at their headlines, not their opinion columns. That's basically in the noise category. It's really their top line, front page story type headlines. Okay, you want to look at. Second thing to look at are the statements of top elites, like CEOs, for example. That can give you a read on what may happen or where things are going, okay? What is noise? Celebrities, actors, journalists, etc., who are all can mostly left-wing dipshits most of the time anyway, on social media, running their mouths. That is just, again, part of the noise. The signal is, what has the CEO said? That's going to tell you what, where things are going. And how do we know that? Or why do we know that? CEOs, their entire job is to set the tempo and to set the direction of their company. So it's a pretty good signal as to where things are going. Okay. Also, in similar vein, statements from top financial people like Larry Fink. Okay. Noise, slop, anti-woke, social media, outrage machine, there to harvest clicks, libs of TikTok, you know, all of this absolute garbage, okay? And I think this is where so many of my contemporaries, you may say, or my peers, who are also have YouTube channels and who analyze things, go wrong, because they pay attention to all of that absolute crap, and it makes them miss the signal because they're focused on the noise. And if I would say, if there's one thing that sets me apart from 99% of other voices in these spaces, is that I do this and I completely ignore all of that stuff on the right, okay? Which also makes up, by the way, 99% of content. So fourth, the regime always telegraphs its moves. Okay, and I'd explain all of that in that older video, how to pass the media, how to read the media and pass the regime. It always telegraphs its moves. Why? Because it needs a certain degree of stability. It needs to coordinate quickly across all its many thousands of nodes, which are decentralized, right? They're not all, it's not like a whole central command and control structure, ultimately. So it needs to send these very clear signals as to what is going to happen. And I would say the key reason is for the markets, for financial stability, so that they, you know, they need to have a certain number of things that are reasonably predictable, okay, for regime stability, for financial stability, etc., and for planning. So usually you know what's going to happen months in advance. They signal it heavily, especially if you pay attention to the headlines in the way that I have outlined in previous videos. I give the specific tools for what to look for there, okay? In this case, in the case of the election, it was obvious months ago that the regime was gearing up for a Trump presidency. And I was telling people and telling people and telling people they wouldn't have it. Well, now you can see the result. Clean win as well. And the regime told you. You know, I've got this saying, people say, well, you're some sort of wizard or something like that. I tell them, no, I just read the news. And in many cases, reading the news is not going through a newspaper, because 9 times out of 10, all you need is the headline. The headline is usually enough for the read, and there is no need for the detail, the small print. The headline tells you the mood music of the regime. Okay. And one of my tricks, as I've told people many times, you go onto Google, you put in your search terms, and you hit the news tab, which brings up all of the regime media, right? And the headlines alone will tell you which direction the regime is headed in. Okay. Especially when you learn how to, a few little tricks as to how to analyze those headlines, because sometimes there's a kind of coded message. For example, if there's a closed question in the headline, the answer is always no, right? And one of the tells this time is that they always asked, can Kamala Harris beat Donald Trump? It was never, can Donald Trump beat Kamala Harris, but always, can Kamala Harris beat Donald Trump? Okay, putting it that way around makes Harris seem like the big underdog, and it also gives an implicit answer, which is no. Okay, that's just one of a few different tricks. But basically, you can pretty much see quickly if all of the regime media has similar sorts of headlines, that's a huge signal that the media is heading, that the regime is telegraphing what's going to happen. Okay. Now, it's important to say that if they're all telegraphing in one direction, that does not mean to say that those events will always come to pass, because the regime is not the omnipotent, right? It is not God. So there are certain things that it can signal heavily that, they're telegraphing this thing is going to happen, but it doesn't come to pass. I'll give you an example. Something like the imminent death of Vladimir Putin, or the imminent demise of Vladimir Putin. Sometimes what the regime telegraphs is just wishful thinking, okay? And in the past, we've seen this with Trump. The walls are closing in, and all this sort of thing. This is just wishful thinking on behalf of the regime sometimes, or what they would like to happen. But in the other cases, like for example, Trump winning this election, you can pretty much bank that it's going to happen, okay? Because that is something they do have some control over. All right, let's carry on. The regime never plays 4D chess. So this is the fifth and final thing to note. So what this means is, if the regime telegraphs something in one direction, they're not tricking you. They're not kind of going one way and then going to swerve you at the last minute, okay? In my experience, they never swerve. If they signal one way, there are seldom surprises. If something takes them by surprise, they'll let you know, okay? And there are two massive examples of the regime being surprised, okay? Number one is Brexit. Number two was Trump back in 2016. The regime signaled heavily that Remain would win, or that Hillary Clinton would win. And when those things didn't happen, they were shocked, appalled, upset, hysterical. And they let you know. They weren't playing 4D chess back then. They weren't being like, oh, well, really, we wanted Trump, or really, we wanted Brexit to happen. They were upset about those things. Okay. So, yeah, with some of these things, you have to use a little bit of common sense. And then, so in this case, for example, a set of circumstances had changed so that they had come to accept Trump by 2024. They'd made peace with the idea of Trump being president. Okay. That was not the case back in 2016. So circumstances had changed. And there were many other instances in the past where the regime were working in lockstep to try to bring Trump down, Russiagate, or various different impeachments, accusations of sexual misconduct and all of this sort of thing. There's been many times in the past where they were actively trying to bring Trump down, all of those failed, as we now know. But in my opinion, sometime last year, certainly since the October 7 attack in Israel, significant power brokers within the regime switched horses to back Trump. That's what happened here. And I picked up on those signals, and those signals were good, as it turned out. Now, a couple of warning notes before we end up here. This methodology can be used to pass Western media, but it cannot be used to predict, for example, the actions of Donald Trump himself or world events. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how you cannot use this methodology for anything but passing Western regime as we know it, okay? It can't be transferred into other, it's custom made for this particular type, like Western politics. It's not transferable to other things. And this, of course, is significant because Trump is about to be the president again. So Trump is unpredictable. In some ways, he is the exact opposite to how the regime operates, which is to say, you must study what he does and not what he says. Okay, and this is something we've all had to learn over almost a decade of watching Donald Trump now. Okay, and the first term of when Trump was the president. You focus on what he does, not on what he says. Okay. The regime does exactly what it says. Okay. What Donald Trump says is often a negotiation strategy and diverges from what he actually does. I hope that is clear. So the Donald is different from the regime and how he operates. Okay. He's a deal maker. He's a negotiator. To a certain degree, he's a bullshit artist, right? So there are many different times where Trump is saying something for some other effect, okay? Do you remember his dealings with the Rocket Man in North Korea, right? He was basically jockeying with him for position to put North Korea in its place, okay? He was never actually going to bomb North Korea, for example. And again, reading Donald Trump is a whole separate video, okay? He has a whole different playbook from how the regime operates, okay? Which is probably one of the reasons why he has bested the regime and finally won a round or got the regime to accept that they're not going to defeat him, basically. So anyway, let's carry on. This methodology can also not be used to predict the actions of other nations. Vladimir Putin, for example, unlike the regime, does play 4D chess, and he has a long history of being a 4D chess master, okay? The Iranian regime also send mixed signals, right? Sometimes the Iranian regime will signal something and then not do it, or they'll just say something for effect, right? In the same way that Trump does. So it doesn't work. It's not transferable to the government of Russia or the government of Iran or, you know, China, for example, which is also quite inscrutable at times. So I'm just telling you the limits of this methodology. It's only applicable in the specific circumstances of Western politics. Hopefully this was helpful. A little bit of an unusual week this week because my usual schedule has been set aside for the American election. Tomorrow, I've got quite an exciting video that I'm planning, which is how Donald Trump and his since 2015 has basically been living a pro wrestling storyline. He has been booked like a pro wrestling company ace or hero. And I'll be going through all of the sagas of Trump from 2015 to now to show you how it is exactly like pro wrestling. Thought that would be a fun Friday video this week. But anyway, as you may be able to hear from my voice, I've still not fully recovered from election night. All my cold from a couple of weeks back. But yes, let me know what you think of this in the comments, and I'll catch you tomorrow. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.